Welcome to Grace Chapel, member of the Fisherman Ministry. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the mire clay. On the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You're taking me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, and now I know.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this gathering today. We thank you for all those that will listen to this message online. We just ask you to open our minds and our hearts and our souls, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Showed in my ways, but as for my servant Moses, I showed in my ways. Will you learn my ways? Will you learn my ways? Will you learn my ways? As for my people Israel, I showed them my power. As for my people Israel, I showed them my power. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways.
Like always, every week, I have a time to reflect on the past week and on my life. What makes you worthy? What makes you forgivable? What is it that makes you special? These are things I have to look at. These are things all of us should look at. Because the answer is nothing. How does the outside world see you? Most of the time, for most people, and sometimes for myself, they don't see you. But if they see you, how do they perceive you? By your actions, by your speech, and by your words, do you demonstrate that you're a Christian? That you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Or they just see you as another person in the world? Most of the time for myself, I think they see me as another person in the world. This flesh has a tendency to try to drag us down, and it does a fairly good job. It's the reason why every morning when I wake up, I thank the Lord for another day to try to get it right, so I can learn, so I can strengthen. The reason that I should and don't always get into the Word of the Lord in the morning. Because there's other matters pressing. Other things that I need to do. And I forget the one thing that I need to do. Which is know my Lord. And the only way to know my Lord is to get into His Word. To have faith in Him. John 3:16, it says that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. It's very easy to believe in a thing, but to believe on means that you believe everything that He said. So to walk it, you have to know it. To know it, you have to read it. You cannot go out and present yourself as a Christian and act and speak and walk as the world does. And I fail at that a lot. I just thank God for His grace and his mercy that I have another day that I can learn and strengthen myself so that hopefully when the day comes, I can be with the Lord.
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. All right. You touched on something that is worth talking about, Bob.
Finally.
Hey, you did it. If we're calling ourselves Christians and we're not out in the world walking as Christians, you know, I've heard Davey say, I've heard Steve say, others say, you know, we've taken his name in vain. Right? And if you haven't heard this before, I'll give you the short version. It's basically like my wife, she marries me, she takes on my name, my last name of Bishop. If she's then not faithful to me and she goes out, you know, doing things that aren't right, she's taken my name in vain. Right? When we take on that name of Christ, call ourselves a Christian, we're to do, there we go, what he would have us do. And every Christian is called, I think it's called a, or is called to be a minister of fire. Is that right? Sound about right? Okay. The thing that comes up in my head is, John Wesley, or Weasley, I forget how you pronounce it, but he's one of, you know, I was reading this book, God's Generals, you know.
Wesley.
There you go. One of the things, you know, in that book I was reading mentions that before he would go out into the day, right, before he would go out and preach, before he would go out and do anything, he would pray. that the Lord set him afire so that he could go out and people could watch him burn. So, wow, that's pretty powerful stuff right there. Isn't that what we should all be doing? Isn't that where our focus should be? This morning, I had this story in my head, and I think I read the story to the kids, you know, back in Vermont at the library probably years ago. I asked the kids, they don't remember it. You know, so maybe, you know, I picked up the story somewhere along the way. But the story goes, there was a boy, and he built himself a little sailboat. Right? He took all this time, built a little sailboat, and he'd walk down the road from his house, and there's a little pond there, right? And he'd go out and he'd sail that little boat in the pond and he'd make sure that it didn't get, you know, too far away because he didn't want to lose it, you know. And sure enough, one day it got away from him. And he lost his boat. And he was sad. He went home crying, you know, all that. And it was a few weeks later, he's in town with his mother or something, and there's a secondhand store, you know, on the corner. And he looks over and he sees his boat. It's in the window of the secondhand store. So he's excited and he runs in, you know, and the shopkeeper's there. Can I help you? And he said, that's my boat. I built that boat. It's my boat. I want my boat back. He said, well, that might have been your boat. It's my boat now. You want that boat? You're going to have to give me $20. Right? And kid just couldn't understand it. You know, he was, you know, $20, that's a lot of money. What am I going to do? And as the child's leaving, you know, the storekeeper says, hey, come here. I need some help around here on occasion. All right, you come on over here after school or whatever it was he was doing. You know, sweep the floor, straighten up the shelves. I'll give you a couple bucks, right? So faithfully, he came to the store. He swept the floors. He straightened up the shelves. And the shopkeeper, true to his word, gave him a couple of bucks. And then it came the day where he had, you know, a wad of $1 bills all wrinkled up in his pocket. And he went into the shopkeeper, and he gave him the $20, and he got his boat back. Right? And the boy, he was so excited to have his boat back that he said, you're mine twice now. I made you. And now you're mine again because I bought you back. Wow. It's a pretty good story. I mean, God shows us that not only did he create us, but he redeemed us, right? I mean, he paid that price to buy us back out of sin. I mean, all we have to do is believe him and receive that redemption. I mean, it's free to us. He's paid that price. We receive it and obey him and move forward in him. One of the things that Bob was bringing up too is, you know, my concept of it is, you know, allowing other, you know, little g gods into your life, right? All these things that distract you from the real thing, these things where you put your attention. I mean, search yourself. Find out where you've allowed these things into your life. Honestly look and see where you set your own affections. I mean, in other words, if your mind takes a break from your daily living, right, where does it come to rest? You know, think of a compass. North, south, east, west, that kind of compass, right? It's in your pocket. Put it in your hand. You shake it all up. Right, when that thing comes to rest, that needle points north. Every time. Our north is Jesus. And if in your life you get all shooken up, and when you hit that still spot, if that needle don't turn and point to Jesus, Sounds like you got to recalibrate that compass. Amen. As I'm thinking about this, I think about the ways in which, you know, I myself spend my free time. You know, and the things that I think about. And I'll tell you, it's not always the Word or Jesus or things like this. I mean, I got an awful lot of clutter between my ears that I got to clean out. What is it that you long for? What is it that you're living for? Call yourself a Christian, you should be living for Him. And the Word tells us to set our affections on those things above, not on those things of this earth. Is that what we're doing? That's right. We're to reckon ourselves dead that we may live in Him. With a singleness of mind. Right? He was my great-grandfather. He used to breed beagles. And I remember I was young. I was probably Bodie's age or so. You know, he had died when I was 8 or something, so I was probably 6, something like that. And he still had... Oh, there we go. He still had a few dogs. And he took me out into a field with the dogs, and he showed me that, with beagles, it's instinctual, is what he's telling me. I don't know. I've never trained a beagle. But what they do is they chase prey and corner it, tree it, that sort of thing, so that you can come hunt it. And what he did was when these beagles were of a particular age, they'd received some sort of training, I'm sure. I'm not sure how old they were, but they weren't pups. They were, mature dogs. He'd bring them out into this field, and he'd wait. And eventually a rabbit would pop up, and one of the dogs or two of the dogs would see the rabbit. And they'd go off for that rabbit like they were... they weren't stopping until they got it. Then the other dogs, hearing the barking and seeing the commotion, they'd come and follow the other dogs. Hey, let's go get it. What is it? What are we doing? Let's go. And they'd follow along and they'd run. And he just let them go for a while. And eventually you'd see some of these dogs just drift away. And they'd stop chasing the rabbit. They'd fall back. Till eventually you got, 2, 3, 4 dogs that are still on the hunt. They're still looking for that rabbit. They got their eye right on that prize, and there isn't anything that can tear them off of that rabbit. Now, why didn't the other dogs continue? Why didn't they keep chasing them rabbits? I was thinking about it, and it could just be that they didn't have the desire. They didn't have that passion. They didn't have that instinct. They didn't have that, love to go after that rabbit. Let's turn over to Matthew. I'm just going to read a couple verses out of 22. Start at 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do you have the commitment to continue with the chase? Do you have that passion, that desire, that drive? If you don't, there's still hope. Get into your closet, get on your knees, and pray. Pray for that passion. Pray for that desire. Then move forward in Jesus without looking back.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
And since Bob and Scott didn't say it, I'll say Happy Mother's Day. I would do a Mother's Day service, but Steve did a good one today, so I'll let that one go. And I've got something else to talk about. I don't really want to see any hands, but in your own mind, put your hands up. If you want to know God on a real personal level. Now, if I were imagining, I would imagine most of the people listening would say yes, they'd have their hands up. But what does it take to know God on that personal level? See, as you get into what it takes, you'll start seeing the hands start dropping. Have you ever noticed in the scripture, you read one thing, and then you look over here and you read another thing, and they don't seem to mess together, they don't seem to go together. That's because when we don't read them in the context, we miss the meaning. Bob was quoting out of John 3:16 earlier, trying to. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Should not. Now, God so loved the world, that is his creation, that he gave Jesus. That if someone believes in Jesus, they should not perish. Now, why is it that they should not? Because to believe in is just the beginning point. It's a starting point. All right. Now I want to show you something. Go to John 17. I know I preached on this before. But I'm going to go to verse 2, where it says, "As thou hast given him," that is Jesus, "power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Now I've asked this question to many preachers and many Christians over the years, and they all come up with pretty much the same answer. I'll say, how many people did God give Jesus the authority to save? And they'll say, "Oh, everybody." And the answer is no. He did not give the authority to save everybody. Jesus had only the authority to save 11 people. Period. And if you think you're in that bunch in verse 2, that's pride. You're wrong. He gave authority for Jesus to save 11 souls out of the entire world. What about us? Where do we come in? Well, let's go down a little further. Verse 20. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to go to 9. Verse 9 first. These 11 souls, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That's those 11. All right? Now go to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's the rest of us. And you notice it's not believe in him. It's to believe on him. All right, now, God gave his son that whosoever believed in him would have the opportunity to go forth and get the rest of it. And that is to believe on him. And how did these 11 get there? How did they get there? I know they were foreordained. Amen. They were predestinated. Amen. But they still had to get there. Like everybody else, they had to get there. Well, let's go over to John 15. We'll go to 13 verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. See, he set the stage right there. He not only laid down his daily life for them, he laid down his whole life for them. How did they become friends? Verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. If you want to know God, and be intimate with that knowledge of God, there is only one way, and that is to serve him. You have to become a servant of God. And a servant of God is not about his own business. A servant of God is about his business. And as God gave his son as an opportunity for us to believe, so we must give ourselves as an example that others may believe. And when we go about our lives seeking our will, our glory, our ways, we are denying people an opportunity to know God. We have to come to that place where we love God, all our heart, soul, mind, strength, not the body. The body's cursed. It can never love God. The flesh can never love God. But with our spirit and our soul, yes, our strength, we can serve God. We have a tendency or an opportunity when the flesh rears up and wants to go contrary to what God wants. We have that opportunity to say no. If I see someone that I do not like because of their haircut or their tattoos or they got bone in their nose or some stupid thing, my flesh says, reject that person. Have nothing to do with them. But my spirit says, Jesus died that even that person too might believe. Who am I to take that away from them? Amen. If you want to know God, you have to first start off by serving God. And how do you serve God? The same way Jesus served God. By serving those around him. And then by bringing the gospel to them and bringing the good news to them, they served him. And his commandment was, you're to my disciples. When? You're my friends. When? You do whatever I tell you to do. In another place he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What were his commandments? It wasn't the law of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. It was not the law of Moses. His commandments. To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now is that really so hard to do? Not when we have our eyes on the Lord. Not when we love him first. If we love him first, then it's easy to love others. But if our eyes are on us, it's almost impossible to love others. This really is a good message. And it's worthy of hearing and acceptation. This message was given to me in the wee hours of the night when the Lord woke me up and gave me this message to give. I hope I've done it justice. Sounded better when he gave it. But I hope you get the point. Amen. Amen. And again, happy Mother's Day to you mothers.
City, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out his word.
He is here.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We ask that you be with us as you walk, as we walk out in this world. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Be with us this week, Lord. Follow us, protect us, lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.